So, thank you, Kelly. And just echoing what Kelly said is, you know, no different than any of the other peer groups. If you have questions as we go through, just feel free to jump in. Instead of going around and doing the introductions, which might be a little difficult when we don't have a linear table to follow the pattern around, what I'll do first is just say, if anybody has any questions or items that they want to make sure they get out of today's session before we begin, just come off of mute, throw them in now, and we'll make sure we get those included for you. All right, so let's jump in then and ask away as we go through. So really, what we're looking to do today is introduce this concept of transitioning from a funnel model for your business to a flywheel. And along the way, we'll discover strategies that place your customers at the center of your business to make the most use of that flywheel and how to actually transition towards it and what it all is. But before we jump into that, I missed last month, and I appreciate everybody coming back, and I know that we had a substitute speaker in last month, and I hear it was great. And I just want to explain why I missed last month, and that's because this little girl arrived on February 27th. Her name's Veronica, and everyone's healthy and happy and all good. So we had kind of an exciting end to February before we all got locked down in our household, and so that's why I wasn't here last month. But now let's get back to the flywheel. What are you laughing at, Ryan? It wasn't going to be a whole presentation about my kid. Don't worry. So, before we get much farther into this, I'd like people to come off of mute and share with us right now in your business, what is your best source of new leads coming in?
Members.
So, referrals, other people referring people in?
I was going to say I have customers.
Anybody else?
For us, Google AdWords.
AdWords, okay.
For us, it is our website.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, I'd say it's a mix of referrals and for some of my clients, very strongly their website.
Okay.
Referrals and the website.
Referrals and website.
I think for us, it's referrals or reach outs on LinkedIn, like active reach outs.
Okay, perfect.
My
Any other
mother's pretty
thoughts?
good usually.
What's that, sorry?
My mother's pretty good.
Yeah.
We also get a lot from Capterra.
Capterra, okay. So paid ad campaigns.
Yeah, looking for me is my past. My
So
history.
reconnect, yeah, previous connections and things like that.
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else want to share? Okay. So let's keep that in mind as we go through here, those answers, because there's a lot of very common answers amongst the group. So why is it time to replace the funnel with the flywheel? And first, let's talk a little bit about what all this means. So typically, if you walk into most businesses, there is some form of a funnel diagram sitting somewhere, or some way that they report on a process using a funnel model. And if it's a marketing team, it's usually something like, well, first we have suspects, and then they become prospects, and they become leads, and marketing qualified leads, and sales qualified leads, and then we pass them off to sales. And if you talk to the sales team, usually they have a funnel that looks something like, well, we had a first appointment with them, we do a needs analysis, give them a proposal, we negotiate, and we close the deal, hopefully. And if it's your customer service team, it's sometimes, things like we have an open or a new ticket, we're waiting on response from the client for that ticket, the client's waiting on us, and the ticket's been closed, right? And all of these are typically measured and thought of in a funnel model. And the thing with funnels is that people coming out of the bottom of your company's funnel have a direct impact on people going back into the top of it, right? And when you're done right, the bottom of your funnel directly feeds into the top of the funnel. And that's why so many of you guys on the call, and the most common answer to that question I posed earlier, is your best source of new business is usually referrals, right? Because you're making happy customers who come through this funnel and you know, they're referring other people back up to you. On the flip side of it, people coming out of the bottom of your funnel who've had a bad experience can absolutely stop people from coming into your funnel. So if people had a really bad experience with Tech Connects, and they went ahead and started telling everybody, you know, they're garbage, they stole my money, whatever, right? Not that any of that would happen, right, Ryan? But
thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, no worries. But absolutely, the idea is that, you know, people influence who comes into the tops through referrals and testimonials and things like that. The attitude of people that come out of the bottom of your funnel directly impacts the number of people who are willing to enter the top of your funnel. And here's where I have an issue with the funnel model, because funnels are typically thought of that once somebody drops out, once they hit that, you know, closed one deal, it's a sales qualified lead, or we close that ticket, people think of that as the end of the relationship or the end of that interaction, right? Because that's how funnels work. Things drop at the bottom and we don't really worry about them anymore. Any questions or comments on that so far?
Yeah, I have a comment here.
Yeah.
I definitely don't think when things fall out of the funnel at the bottom that we don't worry about them. Like the people that go, the clients that go through our funnel and we secure a business relationship with them, they're our primary source for referrals and further work. So I don't think we do that.
No, and that's fair. So what today is mostly going to be about, because I think what you're probably doing is leading into this flywheel model. Right. And the whole idea, the concept behind funnel versus flywheel is it's just more or less a mentality shift. It doesn't mean that you still won't report on things in a funnel like model, but your attitude of what happens to people as they come out of that funnel has to change. And I was, from my experience and what I've seen, a lot of organizations do tend to think, okay, you know, the salesperson thinks, okay, that person, I won a deal, I've closed it, let's move on to the next opportunity. And they tend to push off the responsibility of great customer relations to the customer service team or somebody else inside the office, and it tends to get forgotten about.
Fair enough.
Any other thoughts or questions? Okay. So what exactly is a flywheel? Well, technically, a flywheel is a machine that stores rotational energy. But what's that actually mean when we're talking about it in this context? The idea here is that as we feed people into our process, that happy customers provide a force that drives growth for our business. So if we continue to think of people not just dropping out of a bottom of a funnel, but continuing to engage them, delight them, and use them as a source of referrals, upsells, cross-sells, things like that, that we can get this flywheel moving faster, right? And so it's about coming up with a game plan to make sure that when somebody gets handed off from marketing to sales, that there's a proper handoff procedure between there, right? There's not people tripping over themselves to help people or look for information, and that everyone has this kind of seamless path that they flow through, right? So that marketing flows into sales, which flows into customer service and keeps that going to create a great customer experience. And what we want to stop is what we call friction. And friction is anything that is going to create unhappy customers. They're going to add friction to our flywheel and they're going to slow down or stop that company's growth, right? So if I'm dealing with upset customers, it's taking away from our team's ability to create great customer service, and it's also stopping people from coming into that flywheel and creating that rotational energy for us. So essentially, force is anything that takes place that you invest in to drive sales, right? And friction is anything that happens within your organization or external to your organization that has the power to slow down sales. So this could be things like having a lot of red tape in your onboarding process. It could be having, you see a lot of people out there who still have like a quasi SaaS offering, right? They like to think of themselves as a SaaS company, but you know, I can't just sign up online and start working with the product. They have to go through a salesperson. They have to set me up. It takes a couple of days and so on and so on. Now, in some cases that might be necessary for whatever reason, but you know, reducing the amount of friction to getting people to use your product or to invest in you is really the key to keeping that rotational energy going. And a couple overused examples for this, of course, is, you know, if I wanted to listen to new music not too long ago, I had to get in the car, had to drive to the mall, had to find a parking spot, go into HMV. Hopefully they had what I wanted in stock. I had to buy a CD, drive home and put it in my CD player to listen to it, right? Now I got iTunes, I've got Spotify, I've got the moment that a new record is released, I can play it, right? The moment I think of a song that I haven't heard in a while, I can play it. And you've seen the same thing with Netflix, right? Where, you know, Blockbuster and all those places are gone now because we have on-demand video. And what's interesting, I'm sure you guys have probably noticed this too, I'd be interested to see what happens to traditional movie theaters coming out of this pandemic that we're in right now. Because I don't know if you've noticed or not, but a lot of movies that were scheduled to release right now in theaters, they're actually coming to things like iTunes and other streaming services like that as like a $20 rental. So it's, you know, they're bringing these movies that were supposed to be in theaters right to your home right away. And I think I've thought this for a lot of years because I hate the movie theater experience because it's expensive and people usually kick my seat and it's noisy. That I would pay a premium to rent a movie as, you know, as soon as it comes out in my home and watch it. And I'd be interested to see how that plays through after this pandemic comes out.
Kevin.
Yeah.
This is Rakesh. One of my friends is actually the CIO at Cineplex.
Okay.
And he actually said their online service, if you wish, is the only thing that's keeping them afloat right now.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So like their streaming of movie services?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not surprised. I've kind of thought that for a while that, you know, that was my preferred method. And I think, you know, it takes events like what we're going through right now to force some people to try it a new way, right? People get stuck in the mindset of, I'm just going to, you know, go to the movie theater. That's what we've always done. I want to get my big bucket of popcorn and things like that. But once they say, hey, you know, once they're forced to realize I can stay at home, make popcorn, save a bunch of money and watch it in the comfort of my own home, I think that's going to change a lot of people's mentalities. Any other thoughts or questions so far?
So Kevin, you're just really saying like the friction itself is what we implement. It's not really the external, but the friction is kind of what we as an organization
implement. It can be external as well in some circumstances. So, you know, if like, you know, right now, if you were a walk-in retail store, right, you might have a great in-store customer experience, but people aren't coming in store right now. Right, because of what's going on. So that's an external force that's creating issues for you. So, you know, this might be the time that you look for saying, okay, we do have to have an online store presence as well. We have to do e-commerce as well as in-store, right? So it's about breaking down some of those frictions points that are stopping people from doing business with you.
Okay, so if there's a friction, it can be anything implemented. It's just how you deal with it and how you make the changes is essentially what happens.
Exactly, exactly. It's all about reducing that friction so that it makes it easier for people to have a good experience with you, right?
Okay.
I always like, I don't know if anybody has read the book or is familiar with Tony Hsieh, who's the CEO of Zappos. His book is Delivering Happiness, and that whole concept is around making it easy for people to engage and buy shoes online. And if you think of probably one of the last things you want to buy online is shoes, because it's so personal, the fit, the size, everything like that. But the way that he kind of broke down the trial period, the returns, everything like that to reduce friction for buying shoes online, turned them into, you know, what caught Amazon's eye, and Amazon ultimately bought them and brought them under that umbrella as well. Okay. So, you know, just to kind of summarize those last little ones is that modern customers are constantly on the lookout for easier, faster, smoother ways to buy products they care about, right? You know, we don't have to overuse it, right? Like to overuse an example is Amazon, right? Like when this whole coronavirus thing started and people were panicking and clearing the shelves of toilet paper, you know, my wife and I were in the grocery store and it's all gone. And I could sit there and try to figure out, you know, well, can I go over to Walmart or should I try this store or this store to try to find some? And while I'm standing in the aisle of empty toilet paper, I just pull up my phone and yeah, Amazon has it in stock and they can get it to me within 3 days. And I hit the one click order and I'm done. Right. So instead of, you know, going to other sources of friction, which might be stores that are going to continue to have some out of stock, or I'm going to have to fight to get some for my cart. You know, I just went to an easy way to spend my money, if you will. And then on the flip side, it's hard to provide a good customer experience if there's friction gumming up that internal process, right? If people want to spend money with you, but you're creating a lot of roadblocks or red tape to getting them onboarded, or signed up, or if you have a very rigid sales process or way of doing business with you that doesn't necessarily need to be done that way, you know, you're just creating a not ideal customer experience. One example I used to run into a lot of this in my previous career, where we did document management and we would take people's records and scan them and things like that. And one of our competitors was Iron Mountain. And you want to talk about a company that has a lot of friction in working with them, right? If you want to send your boxes or records to Iron Mountain, doesn't matter if you have them all in brand new boxes you bought from Staples, you have to buy all Iron Mountain boxes again from them. They don't give them to you. You got to pay for them. They've got to be labeled Iron Mountain's way. They've got to be transported with their staff. There's huge hostage fees to get your documents in and out of there. You know, Iron Mountain is a safe bet for people looking for record storage, but there's a ton of friction for doing that. So they kind of fall under that model of, you know, the old saying of nobody got fired for buying blue. And that's typically who wants to deal with Iron Mountain is people who want that safety and security, but nobody's in love with that process. So really what we're trying to do and what this boils down to is three elements, right? To get this cyclical motion going, we need to be able to attract people into our business, which is marketing's responsibility for the most part. We want to engage with them on their own terms, right? Which is what we train our salespeople to do. And then we want to delight them so that they share that good experience with people. And that's where your customer service team comes in, right? And each of these feeding on to one another is what gets that force or that rotational energy going for the flywheel, right? If there's breaks between these items, if there's not good communication between these teams, that's where friction starts to form. And of course, all of this is easier said than done, right? So let's talk about some practical things that you have to do to achieve this. But before I hop into there, I want to open it up to questions. Nothing so far, eh? All right.
No, I got a question.
Okay.
So visually, you've gone from a funnel to a flywheel. A funnel sort of indicates that sales is proceeding in a sort of somewhat sequential kind of way, from left to right or top to down or whatever. You know, circles mean something different. Things are going from the outside in or the inside out. What's the symbology for using a flywheel rather than a funnel? What's the difference there?
Yeah, and it kind of goes back to the question you brought up earlier, right? A lot of organizations, especially if you start to grow when you have multiple teams who tend to be siloed or disconnected from each other, when you're just thinking of everything as a funnel, they think of their business task, right? So if I'm a customer service team, somebody opens a support ticket, my job is to move this from open to closed as quick as possible, right? And that's as far as my thinking tends to go in that, right? If you're a small business, if you are the salesperson and the customer service team and the marketing person, you know, you have all of this in your head. And even though you might measure things as funnels, you think of it more as a flywheel, right? Or a circle, right? You're moving it. It's more for when you start to scale and you have siloed teams for this type of stuff.
Okay, great. Thanks.
No problem. Any other questions? Okay. So where does this all start? Well, the first thing is that employees and anybody in your organization need to have a single source of truth for customer information. And really your CRM should be that, right? It's not to say that your CRM is going to be the only tool that you use, right? Because your CRM might not have service ticket support to it, right? Might not have a module for that. But those systems need to integrate and need to communicate with each other, because we should have one single source of truth where we go to and we can get a complete snapshot of that customer. And again, just to reemphasize this, is that we want to make sure that everything is rooted in a single system of record, right? If I want to find the history of a customer and all the interactions that we've had with them, I should be able to go to one spot. I should be able to see open tickets, closed tickets, conversations from salespeople, and all the way back to how they engaged with us from a marketing perspective and what converted them into an opportunity for us. Right? Because as we start to have more of that information shared amongst the teams, this is where we start to understand the bigger picture that our role plays. So we're not just trying to move a support ticket from open to closed, right? We're trying to feed into a much larger process overall. And then we also don't want our customers to feel like employees are tripping over themselves to help, right? Where, you know, different people have different answers because they're looking at different source materials. We don't want them to, you know, not be able to answer questions because, well, I work in Zendesk and the salespeople use Zoho and we can't really communicate back and forth with each other. So having that unified database that contains one record for each customer with all the details of every interaction they've had with anyone at your company is how you start to streamline this process, break down those walls between the teams, and start giving everyone that complete snapshot, all right?
And Kevin?
Yeah.
It looks to me like you've been tapping into my home security cameras. I'm a little bit upset at this photograph.
I didn't know you were going to be on the call today, Stephen. Otherwise, I would have used a different one.
Thanks. Like, that's me every day, so.
And so, basically, when we start to break down these walls and these barriers between the different departments, and we start to understand the communication and the interactions across everybody, that's when, you know, sales can start to spot new opportunities, right? If they're kept up to date on service tickets that are opening for their customers, they might identify that, hey, if the customer just bought this extra module, it could solve a lot of problems that they're running into. So now it gives them that insight that they can go in there. But if all of that's stuck in a ticketing software that they have no connection or interaction to, they'll never know, right? If marketing has visualization into service ticketing, as an example, they can start to see things, areas where customers are maybe struggling or having common questions, and they can start to create new content around that, right, on the website so people can do more self-service and things to that effect. So breaking down these walls helps team communication. So visualizing the flywheel, essentially, here's what it looks like, is your CRM, your singular source of truth, needs to be at the center of all actions that marketing, sales, and service take to provide a great customer experience, right? If you have that singular point of truth and people can see into it, then they can start to get a better picture of what's going on with the customer. And again, it's not to say that this all has to be one software system, right? There's a lot of companies out there where, you know, they need to use a very specific industry-specific CRM system, right? But look for customer service or marketing platforms that are going to integrate with that as well, right? Because we want to bring everything into one system. And here's a little test to see if you're doing this well or not in a company. So here's the test. Think of a recent interaction that you've personally had with one of your recent customers or prospects, right? So it could be, you know, a new marketing lead that came through and they asked for some information and you sent them a follow-up email. So think of that interaction. And then take that interaction and have a different employee on a different team see if they can find the record of that interaction using tools that they have on a daily basis. So go to your customer service team and say, hey, can you find this interaction? Don't tell them which tools to use. Don't direct them where to go. Just ask them to use the tools that they have access to and see if they can find this information. And sit with them when they do that and pay attention to how difficult or how easy it is for them to find the information that they're looking for, how many different tools they have to go to look for it, if they find conflicting information and everything to that, right? Because what we're trying to do is make it easy for everybody to understand what's going on, everybody have a snapshot and an insight into what's happening. And Kelly, I warned you about this. on Zoom calls, especially when there's not a lot of questions, we tend to run a little short. So that's the end of kind of my flywheel slides. But what I'd love to do is open it up to questions about funnel versus flywheel or any other marketing related questions, challenges, comments, questions that anyone's having on the call right now.
Kevin, which companies would you say right now are doing this well, as an example, besides the ones you've given, especially in our sectors?
It's a good question. I was not prepared with an answer for that one. So I do not have a good answer for you on that, but I can definitely pull some examples together and shoot them over to you guys.
Awesome. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I just had a question kind of unrelated to, well, a little bit related, I guess, to what you just went over. I was just wondering, like in general, how people have been reacting to the marketing and sales process during COVID, and if people have any strategies for maybe like the way in which they've changed communication or the frequency in which they've changed like their processes and any insights into that.
Yeah, that's a great question. And what I'll do is I'll throw in a quick thought on it, but then I want to open it up and see how other people on the call have been addressing this as well. And the one piece that I'll throw in there around the frequency question that you asked is that what I've been reading, what I've been seeing a lot of people do is, this is a very kind of confusing and uncertain times. And what I've seen happen is people communicating more frequently than they would before, right? Letting people know what's changed, what's updated. Those are probably not going to be marketing communications, but more so to people who rely on you and your company, right? So, if you had a line of business software application that people relied on to do their work and they're still working, they want to know that you are there to support them and what's going on, right? Because they don't want to all of a sudden get stuck where the system goes down and they find out, you know, you've laid off all of your customer support team or technical support team. So I would say the frequency of communication to people who rely on you should be increased, but I'd love to hear what other people on the call are doing as well.
Hey, Kevin, it's John. How are you?
Good. How you doing, John?
Good. Congratulations on a beautiful little girl.
Thanks.
I think what I've found is that the key is really is empathy. We can't ignore what's going on around us. We need to acknowledge it. We need to be empathetic towards people and some of the challenges they may be experiencing both in their business and personal lives. And at the end of the day, our job in marketing or sales is to solve problems. And that really hasn't changed, except we need to be aware that those problems we're solving may have changed and the way we solve them may have slightly changed. So if we continue to try to force our traditional value proposition down people's throat at this time, when it's not really solving the immediate problem they have or addressing the immediate problem they have, there's going to be a resistance to that. A natural resistance. So I think we have to sit back, we have to understand, we have to do all of the traditional things like listening and make sure that the solutions that we're providing are really solving problems that people are experiencing today within this new environment.
I think that's a good point too, right? And I'm sure other people have seen examples of this as well throughout all this where you've got to be relevant. I mean, that's always best practice, but even more so now, like if your product or service really doesn't help people address the challenges that they're going through right now, don't try to spin it that way. Don't write a blog article that, here's 15 reasons why now is the right time to buy new office furniture, right? During COVID-19, like it's disingenuous and it's not real and it's a stretch, right? Any other thoughts?
This is Rakesh.
Yeah.
So we're actually doing a session this Thursday, demonstrating several new enhancements to our platform to make it kind of post-COVID appropriate and to help our clients further grow their business. And we're using it as a prospecting tool as well. So it's kind of like a webinar.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was talking to a customer of mine yesterday who what they're doing right now is they're actually having it's not a mandatory thing, but they're offering every one of their clients like a daily one-to-one video call to review what they're doing, how the software could potentially help them and introduce them to things that maybe they're not aware of. So again, it's just, increasing that communication and you're not doing a hard prospecting there, but you're letting people know what they can expect and that you're still there to support them. How about Peter, how about you guys? What's changed for you guys in light of all of this?
It's different reaching out to people, finding new customers, just mostly focused on the digital stuff, such as our website, at this moment in time. We are looking for ways, like, as you mentioned, part of the flywheel, it was attracting engaged delight. So right now we're just looking for different ways to possibly attract people.
Is anything in particular working well for you guys, or is it just kind of a mixed bag of everything?
Yeah, it's a mixed bag of everything. We've been focusing more on our website, though.
Okay.
And just SEO for specific key terms.
Excellent. One question I'll throw out to the group, too, is, you know, if you're not in an industry that, you know, has an immediate need during this pandemic, what are your salespeople doing right now to stay busy and stay relevant and, you know, justify, I guess, a paycheck?
Hey, Kev, it's Ryan.
Yeah.
I guess one of the things that we really had to pivot our offering, obviously, we've always been in person. So this has given us the opportunity to, you know, go virtual. So Kelly and I, like, we've been recording everything, creating podcasts, creating recordings, and still hopefully delivering, you know, that peer group experience. Obviously it's a little bit different, but, you know, it's been amazing, the actual uptake of the virtual peer groups. And I know Karen Long would love this because she's always talking about traffic issues, but, you know, having this forum and having this situation happen to us, we've really had to relook at our offering, and we're going to be definitely looking at a hybrid offering for peer groups in person and virtual. So despite some of the setbacks, you know, this has actually given us creative ability to, you know, pivot and, you know, think about, you know, the future Tech Connects in a different way. So even though things are slow, but it's giving us an opportunity to kind of build up for the future in case there's more incidences or this stuff gets out of hand. So that's all I have to say.
I think, Ryan, that's a good point, because, like, I 100% agree with the benefits of meeting face to face and having that kind of in-person interaction. But I think that you're right in that, you know, being able to offer like a hybrid approach is probably like huge for you guys. If people, you know, for one reason or another can't make a meeting, but still want the content.
Yeah. And like even the uptake on the podcast, it started off a little slow, but like most of our podcasts now are double digit listening and they're starting to gain more traction. So obviously I'm really happy with that. And, you know, thank you everybody for participating and, you know, helping us out so we can help you out.
Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of us too, and it's probably happening to everybody, is this is forced a very quick change for people. So it's some of the things that maybe you have thought of doing, you've had to be creative, and you've had to be creative very, very quickly as to how you go about doing things and come up with some very new ideas as well. So I don't know if anybody could speak to that, because I'm sure a lot of you, to try to keep yourselves relevant, are trying to find new ways of doing things and are having to do them very quickly and trying to train people very quick as well.
Yeah, I think the only thing I'd add with respect to salespeople's productivity during these times is don't forget about your existing customers. So I know companies are very much going back and making sure that they're focused on their existing customer base. Obviously, things have likely changed for them. There may be things that you as a company can do to support them through this time that may be different than what you've been doing traditionally, or maybe just step up in a different direction. So I think, you know, having your salespeople focus on the existing base, make sure that you're retaining those customers, make sure that you have strong, healthy relationships, that when we do come out the other end of this, that you can build on those relationships that you've maintained. Because I know acquisition is obviously key, but if you're not retaining your customers, then it's a rat race to be able to acquire enough to patch the leaky bucket.
This is Bonnie here. I just wanted to second that thought. It's been a great opportunity to build relationships by hooking up some of our customers with people in our network so they can get some of their immediate problems resolved. For example, we have some manufacturing clients who are making PPE equipment, but they don't have to. We've got other folks maybe in our network who need that kind of equipment. So we're trying to retain customers by also solving problems that have nothing to do with us. You know, it's not a service we provide, but just, you know, using the opportunity to relationship build and help our clients. You know, if our clients do well, we do well. So this is for us to do that and just help us see how we can connect people.
I think one of the other things that even Kelly and I have noticed is like, you know, people are like webinars and other members are doing stuff. So the fact that we're able to get stuff out to the membership pretty fast, like, you know, the stuff that Deloitte's been doing, you know, that's a, you know, says a lot for the future of our relationship with Deloitte and other bigger companies getting out that information ASAP when, you know, they come knocking on the door. So like, I think we're building good relationships with some of those bigger companies that we've just recently, you know, rejoined with. So hopefully they're seeing the benefit of some of the transition that we can do. Because we can't provide monetary aid, but we can definitely pump out information and other things like that, obviously, like with the recordings and the podcasts.
Yeah, this is Rakesh. Kelly, to further answer your question as well. Several members of my team, we realize that the way we sell, the way we interact with our customers going forward will be different. So several of these guys, including myself, are doing as many e-learning courses as we can on how to utilize social media. In fact, Richard, who's on the call here, he's doing a presentation later on this week to my internal team, our internal team, on how to create a brand identity using social media. You know, so there's things that we are doing to evolve ourselves. We've been very focused on improving our CRM, improving our tools, improving our communication and our marketing. So these are all things that we're doing to keep not only ourselves busy, but to keep moving, you know, that sales initiative within the company and keep growing and progressing and looking for new opportunities, right? Just evolving and educating ourselves is how we're spending our time, extra time.
Any other thoughts or additional questions or anything?
Yes, this is Richard here, working with Rakesh. Yeah, so what I do is I'm trying to find different circles of influence where our customers go, and you can't reach, like potential customers, you can't reach them if you're not connected to them. So what I do is, like on LinkedIn, I'll find where people are going to hear other people and make sure I go and I comment and look for, you know, like questions that they have and make sure I put out an answer that would, you know, would be a solution to our potential customers. And what happens is I get a lot of those people searching my profile now and then asking for, you know, to connect. So it's going outside of the influence that I've had in the past and going into bigger influences. And it seems to be working very well.
Interesting.
Kevin, Jane here. One thing I've been speaking with my clients about, in addition to, gee, now you actually have time to figure out how that CRM works, for example, and get all your data in there and, you know, get functioning with it. And, you know, what's that crazy idea that you've always had in the back of your head? Maybe you have a bit of time now to at least explore it and do a bit of research and see if it makes sense. But also, for people really to think about strategic alliances and what kind of strategic alliances and partnerships they could invest time now to build that will pay out in the longer term. So people who have the same target as they do, but they sell a different product or service. And so to reach out and invest the time and the energy and the effort into building a relationship with someone and really kind of figuring out how could you partner? Sometimes it's simply a referral relationship. You know, you send people to each other. And sometimes it's more where you're offering joint programs or there can be affiliates. So strategic partnerships and alliances can mean a lot of different things, and it'll be different things with different people. But really to take some time and figure out what some of those are that they can then invest and build, so that when things get, whatever the new normal is, when things get there, they're ready to go and push the button and then start, you know, putting some things in place.
I guess that's one thing that can be a bit of a challenge. And Jane, I don't know if you have any good tips or suggestions, but like maintaining those existing customer relationships or partner relationships during this time, you know, you already have that relationship. So everything having to be virtual and video calls, because you can't go and sit down and have coffee with them. You know, when you have a relationship, that's a little bit easier. But when you're trying to find those new partnership opportunities and you're reaching out to people who, you know, don't know you from Adam yet at this point, do you have any tips on how to connect with new faces in a meaningful way during all of this?
So one thing if you can leverage LinkedIn is to see if you do know someone in common. So LinkedIn will tell you if you're two or three people removed. And so that if you have someone where, you know someone in common, then you ask the person to make an introduction. The other thing is, and I get tons of these, I'm a business coach, so I get all the time people who are trying to, you know, they say, I sell marketing services to business coaches, and I get a lot of LinkedIn requests from people all over the world who just reach out. Most of them just say, please connect. And it's like, okay, you haven't even put any personal thought into it, so delete. But reaching out where you have done a bit of research and you've looked at their profile and you comment on something that they do and something that you can offer them, rather than expecting them to hire you. LinkedIn can certainly help with that. But really, the best thing is to look at your network, look at who you know, and think back to people that you've met in the past where in the back of your mind it was like, oh, maybe someday I could do something with them. Maybe I should connect with them. Now start to rebuild those connections. And it's okay to say, hey, you know, we met 3 years ago and we talked for a minute. I'm reaching out now. How are you? And the first, before you start talking about, hey, I'd like to, you know, do business with you. At this point, the first question, the only question to ask is, how are you? Are you okay? Just want to know if you're okay. And then see how they respond and then engage in the conversation after that. Similarly, reaching out to old prospects that have gone cold that you want to resurrect. It's just at this time, just reach out, just wondering if you're okay. You know, we had a great chat a few years ago and I was just thinking about you, wondering if you're okay. And you leave it at that, and you see some of the people will ignore you and some will come back and start to form a relationship. The emails I've been getting from people where they're operating like business as usual, as if none of this stuff's happening, I'm not paying any attention to them. I at least need the times are tough right now. We hope you and your family are safe and okay. I at least need that, you know, in there. So yeah. starting with that can really help. And everyone should at this point be taking a look at their business model, really looking at what their value proposition is, who their ideal client is, and how they might need to pivot, even if it's just for the short term. At some point, they may be able to go back and add back what they were doing before, but people really should be dusting off their business plans and kind of really challenging what they're doing and looking for those new ideas. Go for a walk in the backyard or wherever you can go and try to think creatively of some new ideas.
I actually want to jump in and give a plug to Desi and Ryan. They did a podcast. So if you go on our website, that's another thing I'm learning is how to build new pages and stuff. So thanks to Kevin being a good resource sometimes to answer my questions. But they did a podcast, I guess it was last week, on how organizations can do more by slowing down. And just to have, to be able to step back and evaluate your business processes, or your business and its process. So take a listen to Desi and Ryan as well. So thank you for doing that. The other thing is next Tuesday, we have our people strategies peer group, and it's focused on driving culture and engagement right now in a virtual workforce. So join us on that call to sort of see what you're doing, what everybody else is doing, so everybody can help one another and learn some new things. I think times are changing and will be changing going forward as well. So use it as an opportunity to learn something new about yourself, and try to spin the positive out of this. But at that, unless there's anything else, I'd like to, Kevin Aculan, I think, I don't know whether you saw the message, but he had said to say congratulations to Kevin. He had kind of typed something in the chat here as well. So we wish everybody well. We look forward to seeing you, and thank you for joining us today, and everybody have a fantastic day.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.